Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hit my elbow.
Sucks so much.
That's a great way to start the
show. Isn't
it? You hit the funny bone.
That damn thing scared me.
I'm with the sexy vegan and not so funny bone co-host.
Yeah, I was going to be funny tonight, except I just hit my funny bone, and that sucked all the funny out of me.
Mr. Brian Patton.
Yes, I am.
How are you?
I'm very good. Vegan chef, cookbook author extraordinaire. Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Right. You know, it's so funny that you're doing the show tonight, because I was like, I kind of want to try that samosa pizza recipe.
Oh.
And I just thought about that like randomly today.
Don't do it.
Like 3 hours later, I texted you. I'm like, hey, man, could you co-host?
Well, that happened last time. I think I had made it. I was making Indian food when you called me.
And I love that you love Indian food.
I do. It's my favorite.
It's like a deeper connection. You know what? We're going to introduce our guest right at the top. Mr. Maranzio Vance. Dude, it's so good to have you back.
Am I on?
You are on. You're on now.
I can't hear myself. That's why.
Oh, really?
Here, hold on. How about now?
Oh, now I'm cooking.
There you go.
He's like, I didn't hear my sexy voice.
So you make vegan?
Yes.
Indian food?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
he makes all different vegan food.
Yeah. Different regions of India. You know, some are just more naturally vegetarian anyway.
Right.
So Indian food lends itself very well to vegetarian and vegan food. So, you make chana masala.
Let's go rewind a little bit because he used to eat everything.
Yeah.
He ate everything
under
the sun.
Just like every normal, regular.
Yeah, he explained to me that he decided.
And then he crossed over.
I made the crossover.
And he never turned back.
I did not turn back.
Which, like, I've had many a meal with this guy.
Oh, we have.
And I was shocked that
he
was just like, that's it.
Tiki masala?
Yeah, I would do. I do it with tofu. So I would make tofu tikka masala, but the sauce would be very similar because it's tomato. It's a tomato based and yogurt, so there's usually dairy and yogurt in it. So we have non dairy yogurt, we have non dairy milk, and then we have all the spices. So we have ginger and we have garlic and we have all the spices, and then we just add tomato and yogurt and
turmeric.
Yeah, absolutely.
Turmeric. You use it.
Absolutely, especially in Indian cooking. So
it's like really healthy for you.
Yeah, it's
well.
Yeah,
here's the crazy part. I was reading a website, lifehack.org. Mm.
Lifehack?
Yes, lifehack.
Hack.org. Oh, hack. Okay.
Hack. Yeah. And they gave like 10 spices or 10 different things you should eat to help like blood circulation and what's healthy for you. And the turmeric is on there, and cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
Yum.
And ginger.
Yeah. Probably garlic was probably on there.
Garlic
That's
and
very healthy.
Mint.
Mm-hmm.
Mint.
Mint.
I thought you said mint. I was like, no. Wow, that's an herb.
Didn't hear that one.
Nah, I went out and bought turmeric.
Yeah.
I bought ginger, like the powder. I bought that ginger.
Turmeric and ginger are like two of the best things you can consume.
Yeah.
Okay, so I put it in my smoothies in the morning.
Right.
So that's smart. How does that taste?
It tastes great, but it's too much because my body's tingling. Like when I'm done, and maybe
that's
I'm
called the turmeric tingle.
Yeah, well, I'm putting too much in it. Either I'm putting too much in it, or I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah,
you just feel like that when you wake up.
I was red the first day, like literally tomato face.
Right.
Red.
Well, the ginger could be pretty potent stuff. So
is that what it is?
Yeah, probably.
It's not
turmeric. No, the ginger. Like, yeah, the ginger's spicy. Got some bite and heat to it, and that might.
And
yeah,
turmeric's got like a very distinct.
It is.
Taste,
it's not
though.
Even the most pleasant by itself. I mean, it just goes
the
with
best though. With all, food.
It just yeah. It's just a nice
in my smoothie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
sure.
Put that in my smoothie.
That's smart.
Turmeric, ginger, cinnamon.
Mm-hmm. They all go nicely together.
That can't taste great, though.
It's delicious.
Really? It could. You know and what
I
to
use,
try?
I use almond milk.
Yeah.
Vanilla almond milk.
Wow. Try cardamom. Try a ground cardamom. Go to your Indian market and try that.
Yeah, that's a
spice.
A good one, too.
That goes really well with all of those spices.
So what does that do?
Probably just compliments. I don't know.
I think cardamom is good for digestion. I think.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I might be right about that. I'm not one of those guys who knows like all the medicinal stuff.
My parents are probably
stuff.
Listening, going, "These guys don't."
Yeah.
Know.
but no.
What's the rules for the show?
You can swear. You can say shit.
Just shit.
No, yes, that's the only one.
Okay,
that's the only one. I know my parents will let me slide on that one. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they listen to your show?
They do. Like my sometimes my dad will be like, "Hey, you're really great. You swore about 9 times. Just letting you know."
Seriously?
Oh, man, he's just teasing.
All right. Well,
you can swear though.
I'll keep it to a minimum.
No, I don't know. I don't want you to be censored over my parents.
Oh, okay. Don't ever have that guy on ever again.
You know what's awesome about Maranzio being on the show is he's been on the show before, but I've been trying to get him like over and over and over again. And I feel so terrible because I always call him last minute. I'm like, but this guy gets booked like crazy.
He calls me about 5 minutes before the show.
I'm like, hey, man, can you do it tonight? Oh, you can't do it tonight. But you know what? He was just on George Lopez's new show.
Okay.
You were just filming something today. What were you filming today?
Daniel Tosh. I was working on Tosh.0.
There you go. He's awesome. Always working.
Yeah.
One of the funniest guys. I got to tell you, you were funnier than George Lopez on that show. I'd watch it. I watched it only because you were on the show.
Thank you. I won't comment. I thank you.
But did you have fun doing that? You did one season?
It was great, man. It was a learning experience. It was a paycheck. And we got a season 2. So we started filming January 19th.
Is it called The George Lopez Show or was it called?
It's called Lopez.
He had another show. It's called George Lopez Show.
Every show he's ever had has George Lopez.
What's his middle name? I guess that'll be his next show. If it was George, then Lopez.
This is it.
Yeah. He's got 2 names. He gets 2 shows. That's
GL,
it.
GL the next show.
The inspiration behind that concept for his show?
It's a
little bit what racier. Is the concept? I don't know what it is.
It's basically scripted curb.
Oh, okay, got it.
You know,
okay.
And George's
is the
experiences in the Hollywood and, you know, the racism that he encounters and, you know, the rich friends and the friends that are trying to come up and make money off of him or whatever. And, you know, I play his opening act / best friend or whatever on the show. And the chemistry is good. We didn't have as many scenes together, I think, as the network wanted us to have, but I think this season
it'll change.
We will have. Yeah,
did you have a voice in that? Are you like, listen, you got even more scenes with this guy?
I had a choice in the direction I wanted my character to go, and that was pretty much it. You know,
is that normal for an actor to have that sort of ability to choose where your character goes? Or
yeah, I think if. Because I get to play myself, so it's not really a stretch.
I see.
I play, because like George plays himself, I play myself.
Got
the
it.
Only people in that world that are playing characters are everybody else that's surrounded by
right. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the celebrities are themselves, but everybody else plays, you know, a fictitious character.
It's funny because, you know, like I've seen you and talked to you off screen and know you, and it's like I've seen that show, and it is. You, but it's like a very censored you. It's very tame.
It's on TV Land. Oh, okay, well, you gotta be a little censored on TV.
I think the first episode, you're sitting at a table having breakfast.
Yeah, lunch.
Yeah, you're having lunch. And you're talking, and I was like, Bronzy wouldn't act like that in person. No way. I'm like, that's some good acting right there, because I know the guy.
Because I have to censor myself and not say what I would normally say. Because the writers will come to me and they'll be like, so what would you say in this particular situation?
So is it totally?
You like? Have you read?
Is it totally scripted, or is there freedom for like ad-libbing and?
You know what it is.
Stuff?
The show is scripted.
Mm-hmm.
The scenes that George and I do are like we'll get the lines down first, and then they'll just let us have fun. And generally, they end up keeping
the fun stuff.
Yeah, the fun stuff. I enjoy
that's
that.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. Is it like in front of a studio audience or is it
no.
more? No, you don't
yeah.
do that. Yeah,
no,
okay.
No.
That's coming back, actually. I hope not. The studio audience?
Like,
you don't.
I
love those.
Yeah, like
but
old school.
But most
like,
performers don't.
Oh, interesting.
I don't like laugh tracks. I don't like.
No, but old school studio audiences.
Yeah, like Cheers or something.
But you know what? that formula for TV is cheaper to do. That's why they do it now.
Mm.
Like CBS shows are cheap to do. The actors aren't cheap, but to do the show is cheap because they're in one location.
Right, right.
You
right.
own a studio lot. You own the lot.
Right.
So you're not paying to shoot on location. Like the Lopez show was shot on location, and we shoot all in the valley. We shoot in Los Feliz. We shoot downtown. So. Okay.
Yeah, it's cool to see a lot of the spots that they choose.
Because
you're like,
ooh, part.
It's so L.A. You get that, like, it's almost like Entourage.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, man.
I live right down the street. Like, I live on the street.
Yeah.
And we shoot a lot in North Hollywood.
You're
so
like,
I'm
perfect.
Literally 7 minutes away from
cool.
home.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Man.
Call you walk time. To work?
No,
you're Hollywood, man.
Nobody walks.
I would do that too.
I ride
Nobody
my bike.
Walks to work.
Hey, listen, I'm a chubby man. I would also probably drive
I ride
to work.
My bike, though.
Oh, that's good.
I ride my bike.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good.
Literally, because it's like 7 minutes. So
right.
Is the cast like, oh, man, poor Maranzio. You know, he's going like, to ride his bike to work.
When I first started, they were like, man, we hate to get this early call time. I was like, ah, oh, yeah, that's okay. I'll take it for the team. Right down the street, so it doesn't bother me.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, just rolling out of bed. Right into it.
And so what has been your sort of path to this? Like, what other kind of roles have you had before
shit.
On the? Oh, yeah? That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
You're a stand-up, though. So are you a stand-up? I don't even know.
And he's a great comedian. I mean, honestly, Maranzio, I've seen a lot of comedians. You are good. You are better than good.
Thank you, man.
I know, like, comedians are, they're hard on themselves.
Yeah, because I don't think.
But your shit is funny. And you know what? He'll come out and he'll just, like, sometimes I don't even know if it's, like, if it's scripted or if it's, like, worked out or not. You just, like, you make it look like you're just going.
Because this
on
is
rant.
My demeanor on stage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's,
I'm never excited.
Right.
Ever.
But that's what makes it.
You know, that's also
funny.
Great for radio too.
Yeah. Morning radio. Yeah, I'm not happy to be here. People are like, how's the traffic? It's traffic. Shit. Just drive. But nah, I don't. I haven't enjoyed comedy. God knows.
I feel like I hear that a lot from comedians.
Yeah, comedians, that's a tough life, though, man. It is.
Comedy. You travel by yourself.
Yes, yes.
You know what it is, and I don't think we think about it the way I'm going to say it. You're constantly having to prove that you are funny every night. You know, and you're like, fuck, I did good last night.
Right.
I wish last night's crowd could be here. Tonight, so they could tell these people,
right?
You gotta really like this guy,
right?
Because you have it's a playoff game. You're only as good as your last game. You're only as good as your last show, and then the industry is really
political. You could say
the industry is political. It's shitty. It's dumb. It's stupid. Agents are dumb. Managers are dumb. Because nobody goes out to comedy clubs anymore to search for talent. They all look on the internet,
on YouTube,
Instagram, Vine.
Yeah.
Snapchat to try to find the next greatest thing.
Even if you had a great video that was fantastic and it had 150 views and a shitty comic had a shitty bit that had 3 million views.
That 3 million view comic
gets the deal.
Because that's what agents do. They actually have a department now where they hire people to just sit on the internet all day to try to find the next person.
Well, it's very short-sighted, but that shit does make a lot of money now because people consume that.
Your careers are about as long as Vine.
Yeah, six seconds.
Literally, 6 seconds.
Yeah.
Because you can't build off of it. It's like,
right.
And I think the worst part they're doing, the disservice they're doing to comedy and to the artists that they discover and the platform in which they used, they'll take a comic that does Vine and they'll try to force them to be a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, you need to go write some jokes.
Right.
And we can put you in these clubs and you can make $15,000 just to tell some jokes. They're not comedians. They're just people. Any asshole with a camera can be famous.
With a phone.
Phone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The playing field is leveled completely.
Yeah.
That's why it's like, if you really think about it, there's no real big celebrities anymore because everybody is a celebrity.
For a short amount of time.
For a short amount of time.
And then they're gone.
That's
it. Yeah.
You have a small window of like Hollywood elite.
You know what I noticed too? It's like comedy clubs, and I love to go to comedy clubs because I do love to laugh.
Right.
But comedy clubs, they hose the comic. They it's nothing is in the favor of, like, that place would not be anything but a building if comedians didn't work there, you know?
So back in the 80s, they tried to do a union in New York.
Really?
To where comics would get paid every time they stepped on stage.
Huh.
But at the same time, comedians are whores.
I think all artists are, really.
Well, for the most part, they're whores. But comedians have no loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was someone trying to say, look, if you just work with me, I'll make it where we get paid for what we do. But then there's another comment like, I just need to be on stage. I need to perform. Like, there's no loyalty. They're scabbed. They'll cross the picket line.
And it's a... There's a natural competition between everybody. There's no teams in comedy.
I mean,
there have been comedy teams, but in stand-up,
there's no
stand-up, everybody's kind of out for themselves.
Absolutely.
There are the occasional comedian that will be generous and help their fellow comedian, you know, if they have an idea or something to you know, throw in.
I think
but,
the comics in the 80s, early
90s, yeah.
Helped out.
I mean, Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh God,
he did so much for all those guys in the 80s. Kinison and I'm trying
Roseanne,
to think.
He used to do the HBO Young Comedian special. So it would be like Tim Allen. It would be Roseanne Barr. It would be Sam Kinison.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like Robert Townsend. Like, he had so many comics that he introduced. Nobody does that shit anymore.
No,
right.
And on top of that, it's like Seinfeld, for example. He tours nonstop. But he takes comics that used to work with him when he was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't make it or they didn't pop like they wanted to,
mm-hmm.
they'll just feature for him and he'll pay them a shitload of money.
Wow.
So they still make money.
Right.
No, you're not as famous as you would like to be.
Right, right.
But,
right,
I'm in
but
a
you're making a living.
I'm in a position to help my friends.
Yeah.
Right.
And
it's very generous.
Yeah. That's not comedy now.
Right.
Because everybody's like, I got to get as much as I can.
Right.
The window's not, you know, open long. Let me eat as much as I can. And if I got something left over, I'll let you have my doggy bag.
Right.
Well, the crazy thing is with music, what's happening, too. It's like headliners will open for themselves.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, that is ridiculous.
What does that even mean? I don't even
like
understand.
Like, Bruce Springsteen will open for himself.
Yeah, it was a time.
Doing what?
Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, like Dave will do Dave and Tim before the show.
Absolutely.
And then, yeah.
Now, Dave Matthews Band's done a lot for opening acts.
Yeah, they've always had opening acts.
We've opened for them, but they've always had opening acts.
Yeah.
You've opened for Dave Matthews Band?
Yeah.
Back in
2007. It was awesome. It was
cool.
It was amazing.
Are you a Dave Matthews Band?
I am. So, like, that's why I was.
I'm just asking because the only song I really know is Space in Between.
That's a great tune.
I love that song.
That's a great tune.
People be like, what?
You know, the funny thing is I have a better opportunity when I open for a huge artist at festivals just because I don't know what it is. I think at a festival, because nobody has a seat, everybody's just like goes early to see the opener
right.
so they can just get a good place there.
Right.
With a concert, when you have an assigned seat, people will come in like, and I do it myself. It's like, I can skip the opener.
Right.
But now, headlining acts are opening for themselves.
Kanye's opening for himself.
And
now
I think
on tour.
That's ridiculous. It's like, dude, none of these guys would have those opportunities. The Grateful Dead had the Dave Matthews Band open for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, there's no way that they would have gotten that break had they not opened for somebody. Yeah. So, like, for me now, I see it in the music industry. I'm like, they're trying to make sure they can pocket as much as they can.
Mm-hmm.
All artists. And I get it. So at least Seinfeld is helping some comics out. But
Seinfeld does it. I think Chris Rock does it. You know,
I know Dane Cook did it like 5 years
Dane
ago.
Dane Cook used to do it.
Yeah, I don't know if he still does it.
Yeah, right. I haven't heard his name.
Everybody
used to
open up for him when go make it.
But I mean, I just feel like the comedy club, the actual venue, if in the big cities. I kind of feel like they treat comics like dirt. Like
they
I've
do.
Seen, and they'll book like 25 comics.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would rather see 6 unbelievable comics than 20 okay comics with 6 unbelievable.
Listen, right. It ain't just the comedy club that treat comics like shit. It's the whole industry. In a
right,
whole.
Right.
True story. If I you know me, I'll get into a rant and I'll start talking about something. And
yes. Continue.
That's the real stuff, though.
Yeah, I'll set myself up. trust and believe, I will set myself up for something. And then
I feel like I'm getting censored, Maranzio from the Lopez show.
I'm
on
trying
show.
To be. You know what it is? People say, "Oh man, you've changed." It's not that I've changed. It's that I'm responsible for somebody else's job now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if I go on, if I go out and do an interview and say something crass,
right,
or
right.
inappropriate.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, oh, Maranzio Vance from the Lopez show. And it's George's show. It's right. not my show.
Right.
And I don't need that type of heat. And I don't need to like be working with him and he had this resentment to me like, you know, fucking puto, fucking messed up my show.
Right, right, right.
Or, yeah, yeah. And I don't want to get booted off the show because then that's like career suicide.
Sure.
You know, don't want to work with you again. They'd be like, yo, you were on that show. What happened? Ah,
right.
Stuff.
Right.
So, it is.
I like this, Maranzio. This is nice, too.
I'm approachable.
Do you still do stand up while you're working on the show, too?
Yeah. I have to.
Just to keep sharp?
I mean, and does your stand-up sort of get, you know, does this being on the show fuel your stand-up as well? Like,
it gives me more recognition, but my demeanor, my subject matter, my point of view, my excitement for stand-up does not change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Change. So like just like you're saying now, like you might be a little more reserved talking about something here. Your stand-up, you're still gonna.
I'm be reserved. I'm just. Here's the thing. I talk slow. Mm-hmm. I'm a storyteller, and I talk slow on stage because I'm from the South. Mm-hmm. And when I first moved out here, I used to talk too fast, mm-hmm. and people couldn't understand me, or I didn't enunciate because South has their own slang.
Right.
So I basically had to teach myself not to talk so fast, slow it down, and enunciate, and then, you know, sort of jokes with. Land.
Right.
So part of me performs the way I do because of that. And then two, it's like I'm not a comedian that feels like I gotta make you like me.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I'm not like, hey, how's everybody? If you ever see me walk on stage and be like, hey, how's everybody? What's up? That
the drugs
is
are working.
So what is like? Okay, so what is your like? What is your motivation like from inside? Like what when you get on the stage? What do you want to do? Like you want to make them laugh, but you don't. You're not like I need these people to love me. Like what are you, is your message or what is your goal?
It would be like it's like I have a story to tell. Mm. I have a point to make. I'm going to say it. If you like it, great.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, I'm fine.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like, and a lot of people say that's why my career isn't bigger than it is, because I don't pander.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say, hey, please follow me. I don't ask anybody to follow me on Twitter or Facebook. I'm no social media. I'm like, hey, please follow me on Twitter because the industry won't talk to me unless I have.
But the ironic thing is like you're so real about the things you do put on Facebook that, I mean, I've got thousands of friends on Facebook and I skim through 95% of them, but I'll always stop on his and be like, oh, what's he? Oh, yeah, that's good. And I'll be like, like,
and I'm
he'll
angry.
Just put something, yeah, it's
I'm
just
angry
funny
most
though.
Of the time, though.
Yeah, but you know what? That's okay because you know what? You actually are a voice for people that may not be able to express that as fluidly.
People
you know?
Hate my opinion. Favorite band? Yours? Five.
Oh, man.
Five.
Five favorite bands?
Five.
Oh, yeah.
Give me five.
I would say
let's have that talk.
I would say U2. U2 is definitely one of them.
U2 is my favorite,
dude. U2 is the bomb.
You know when I discovered U2, like really discovered U2, 1998. I was working at a comic book store.
That must have been not pop. That was
no the guy that owned ran the store. He had the Greatest Hits album, the 80s.
Yes.
With
the little soldier on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great record.
I remember that one.
One day he was just like, I'm leaving. And then he only had one CD in the store, and I played that CD. And I just fell in love with
U2. They're so good. They're so good.
Oh, dude.
Unbelievable.
I don't do karaoke often, but I did With or Without You.
It's great. That is, dude, I'm gonna give you a high five.
Yo, when I say
there's like three or four songs that I wish I wrote, and that is one of them because I'm like, you cannot say that any better.
No,
you cannot say that sentiment any better than that.
That song,
and it's like, oh, it kills me. I'm like, God, it's so good. It's
okay,
so good.
I don't really like U2.
You don't? How do you not like U2?
I just don't. I don't know. I never.
What is wrong?
It did not.
With
I mean, you know,
have you seen them live?
No.
See him live. Well,
I don't like their music.
You got to see him live. I saw him live and I'm like, oh my God.
I think like I just missed them for some reason. Like, you know, certain bands like hit you at a certain age or whatever. And for some reason, they were not in my sphere of things that I listened to. And then I just kind of passed me by like a comet. And I just never got into it. I mean, there's, of course, songs that I like of theirs. But I'm not like into them. Like, I'm not compelled to go see them.
I'm so angry at them right now that
at
I hope
me or at
you?
You too. Oh.
Not you too.
I wish meat into your diet.
No.
He just cursed him. Why are you mad at you too?
No, he's mad at me. He's mad at me that I don't like you too.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He wished meat upon me.
They're good. I don't understand good. How.
I would say Bob Marley is my next.
Okay.
I would say Beatles after that. Okay. I'd probably put James Brown or some funk element.
Oh, that's not a band. That's just artists.
Well, just an artist.
Yeah, but, I was going with
favorite bands.
Oh,
okay, just bands?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll say U2. I'll say the Allman Brothers Band.
Okay.
I'll say Coldplay. I love Coldplay.
But here's the thing. So good. If you like U2, you have to like Coldplay.
That's how it is.
It kind of like...
That's how it is. See, he loves Coldplay, but he doesn't love U2.
The last couple albums have been that good. Their first three albums, I'm down.
I'm going to give one of my good, bands for Brian. Pearl Jam is one of my favorite bands.
Pearl Jam is my favorite band.
They're one of my favorite
bands.
Really?
Yes.
They're really great.
Okay, I agree with him with the Coldplay thing, though.
Yeah.
First three albums are awesome.
Parachute,
last couple,
Parachute, incredible.
Amazing.
Incredible. Rush of Blood to the Head.
Whew,
great. Incredible.
Yeah.
Is it XY?
Yeah, X and Y or whatever.
X and Y,
yeah.
Incredible.
Great. Yeah. Yep.
The Viva
La Vida, that's my least favorite.
It was okay.
That's okay.
It was okay. Because they had like... three songs on the album, like, all right, I can.
Yeah.
But the whole album, no. And
Ghost Stories is real good.
Is that their newest one?
That's their second to last, and even their last one. The last two.
Oh, there's been two after Viva?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
Been, there's
I'm
been
not
three.
Paying attention.
No, it's three
there's
after. Three.
Holy yeah. God.
There's Milo Zito. There's.
Did you like Milo Zito?
I liked it. I didn't, like, fall in love with it. I liked it a lot.
Parachutes is a hard
Parachutes
album,
unbelievable.
Too.
Yeah, that's.
It's hard to
chills.
Outdo.
Their
freshman effort, like that album.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know what the craziest thing is? Chris Martin can't listen to that record.
Why?
He can't stand the way they sounded back then.
I've heard him say that in interviews
and
before.
And I'm like, dude, you're crazy.
Are you insane?
I know. I think it's crazy.
And he probably likes every album we hate.
Maybe. He's working with the Chainsmokers right now. I should have left that out, but I mean.
I don't know them.
Who are the Chainsmokers?
Chainsmokers are like this new EDM-ish. Like, okay. One thing I really respect about Chris Martin is he's always down to work with whoever's trending. Like, who he
thinks
is great.
Well, that's just smart business.
It's so smart.
It's smart. It's not creative. It's
and
just
Bono
smart.
And Bono does that, too. Bono's also working with the Chainsmokers. Like, he'll play them tracks, be like, what do you think? But sometimes they misfire. Like, Bono did that with Will.i.am, and I'm like, Will.i.am?
That didn't work.
That's not a tastemaker.
I didn't hear that.
So one of the records, Will.i.am's like, yeah, this is great, and it just didn't, it flopped, you know? So it's tough to stay relevant, you know? I think that thing with music, I think with anything, with art,
Coldplay,
it's just tough to stay relevant.
You too.
Mm-hmm. I said the Beatles. Beatles were my favorite. I love the blues, so Allman Brothers, definitely, and I'd say Pearl Jam. Those are my five.
I like The Police.
I love The Police. Ooh. I was going to say The Police.
I love The Police.
Who else? You got four. Though I like this game. I can do this all night.
Man.
I'm a big Right Said Fred guy.
I bet you are.
I just thought that they were very deep. They had very deep lyrics. I liked it.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, they're great. They're great.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
I would, like, drop what I'm doing.
They're great. Through.
Again, the last few albums have... It's like they had...
It's not Under the Bridge. It's not...
Well, it's like they... It's like California... The album Californication has never ended.
Yeah.
That's true.
Every album's been like
Scar
that.
Tissue.
Yeah, like...
That's one of the best
songs. That album, I love that album. I would listen to that on repeat for, like, three straight days.
Zephyr's on there, right?
Zephyr,
yes.
I think is on Blood Sugar.
No.
Zephyr's on California Cage.
I believe so.
You're right.
And that's got. No. Zephyr. No, that's the one after that.
Is it?
Yeah. Ooh. Yes.
Oh, that's the
one after.
Stadium Arcade.
Yeah. So. But it just seems like you know, they had that heavy, like, blood sugar sex magic, that funk, that like, dirt, like
I want them to go back to that.
Yeah, and then after that, they had One Hot Minute, which was interesting, I guess, and then Californication, which was awesome, but then everything after that just kind of sounds like Californication.
Is Train okay to say?
Train is great.
I like Train's first two albums.
Yeah, Drops of Jupiter. It's a great record.
I used to play Meet Virginia probably every day.
It's a great song. Bam, bam, bam. Oh, I love that track. I'll play that. They're great. They're solid.
Yeah.
They did a Zeppelin cover of they did a live Zeppelin record. They did four live.
That's right. Yeah. I heard them perform on Howard a bunch of times. They did these Zeppelin songs.
And it's like, dude, who can do those vocals?
Right. No.
But he doesn't.
Yeah,
it's certain songs by certain groups that I like. I don't know if I would like their entire catalog.
Right.
Just because. Like, I love Green Day's Wake Me Up.
It's a great, great record. Well, I like Dookie. That's a great album.
Yeah.
Like, it's an unbelievable album.
So
Arcade Fire. We have Arcade Fire.
I like
Fire
Arcade
fans.
Fire. I wouldn't put them on my top five. Mm. But I like
now,
them.
My new groups. My
okay.
new group.
Okay.
Who's your new groups?
Fucking love Hiatus Coyote.
Oh, I don't know them.
I don't know them.
You do not know Hiatus Coyote?
Oh, my God. I like this. I'm going to go home and listen to them.
Australian group.
Uh-huh.
Female.
Coyote.
Hiatus Coyote. Amazing. Little Dragon. Never heard of Little Dragon?
Dude, no.
Oh, my God.
What about Mute Math? Do you know Mute Math?
No. I like Portishead.
You'd love Mute Math.
Really?
Yeah, you'd love Mute Math.
Portishead? Portishead?
First record. Listen to the first Mute Math record.
Not a just called Mute Math.
They're good. They're not my top five. Not even my top 10.
I promise you, if your listeners like music and they want to try something new and good, and I discovered the reason I discovered Little Dragon because they did a song with De La Soul on their new album, and I was like, "Who is this group?" And went and found them. But Hiatus Coyote, I discovered because my son liked the song, and he was just bobbing his head to it,
and like, you're like, "What is that?"
And then I just like gravitated to it, and I was like, okay, I like this. But it's so they have two albums. They're from Australia.
I love this. He wants to talk music.
Yeah,
I love it.
You need to play an instrument, man.
I used to play drums.
Oh man, why'd you stop?
In high school, in college, I played the drums. And comedy came first.
You're like, that's it.
I used to love to play the drums though. Marching band. I had little.
You were the quads?
Yeah.
Those are my favorite drums in Marching Band. I was a Marching Band.
I was small, dude. I wasn't carrying that shit. And then he'd give me a partner to hold the shit, but I'm like walking around. I'm sitting there sweating, and they're like, keep your hat on. This shit. But yeah, I love music, man. I love.
It's the best.
You ever heard Cat Power?
Of course.
I've heard Cat Power.
I like Cat Power. Cat Power. Yeah.
Cat Power's great.
Hat Tin Trio.
No, I've never heard of them.
Never heard of them?
No.
Hold on.
So you got your finger on the pulse on like the indie bands
that are coming
up.
You know what it is? It's folklore.
Hmm.
It's folklore music, dude. But I can't explain it, dude. But
it makes you feel something.
Mm.
It's very wholesome. It's like a combination. I think they're out of like the Bay Area.
Hmm.
But it's like a jazz / folklore. It sounds very like eerie. But it's just dope. I'll play it for you when we go.
You know who's badass? Who's like one of my new favorite artists? Sia.
Seal?
Sia.
Oh, okay. I never heard.
She is off the hook. And she's, you know Tig Notaro, the comedian?
Yes.
So she's been taking actors and comedians, Kristen Wiig, Tig Notaro.
Yeah.
And she stands in the back of the stage and they do dramatic interpretations of her songs.
They did that. So I saw that at Coachella. Really?
I saw Coachella too.
Yeah.
Amazing.
You know, that was so cool and such. Like it was like a
but
little.
Not a festival thing.
It was it was like a little stage play going on. This little interpretive thing was like lit really well, and it was just like all of a sudden Kristen Wiig would be on stage and be like, oh my god, like this is
Paul Dano.
Yeah, Paul Dano was exactly.
A lot of good people.
Yeah. The thing I didn't like about it.
He doesn't like you too, though. I mean,
No. I want to.
It's called Tin, T-I-N, Hat Trio.
Tin Hat Trio.
Tin Hat Trio.
They have two albums that I. Well, hold on, let me see. They have four albums, but their first album is called The Rodeo Eroded or whatever.
Hmm.
And it came out in 2002. Then there's another album, 2004, it came out called Book of Silk. And those are the first two albums I heard, and then they had a song on the Nebraska soundtrack.
That was a good movie.
Yeah.
Sia.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sia. Sorry, go ahead. Let me hear.
I want to see Sia sing.
But she's there.
She's off in the corner, and her entire face is obscured by this wig, and she's just standing perfectly still. Like, it was interesting to me.
You know why she does it, though?
No.
She wants you to listen.
I could do both. I could look. No, she doesn't want me to listen because I'm looking at actors on the stage.
What? This is the real reason. This is what I really respect.
I found it was interesting and artistic and cool, but I also want to see her on the stage, like, you know, commanding the thing. I like the performance of the singer
but
who
she doesn't want you and fans or the industry to love her because of how she looks. And that's what's happening. Like, most music is marketed because of how they look. And for her to do that, it's creating a voice.
Sure,
like,
but I think that her talent and her voice would transcend any looking at. You know what I mean?
Or
I
don't, maybe like one song where she rocks out.
Please,
yeah.
I just want to see on the stage being a rock star, kind of, you know.
For her to do that in this day and age is pretty awesome.
I mean, it's really...
Because I've never seen it.
It's proving that she's got the chops and she's got the skills. Like, but we know that anyway. Can I just see your face just for like 2 seconds? Let me see your enthusiasm. Let me see, you know. That's, you know.
But she sings her ass off.
She's awesome. She was incredible.
I want to play a clip. I want to play a clip. Can I play a clip off of the Lopez show?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to do my stand-up.
Well, I've got a little range from your website. Let's play something off the Lopez show. All right. The first one.
The first
one. This is Maranzio Vance on the Lopez show.
How about you lately?
What is this, George?
You're on a dating website. You're George Lopez. You don't go on dating websites.
Okay, I haven't dated in a long time. I don't go out a lot.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, let me put my stuff on that, you know? But I thought it was anonymous, man. I didn't even use my real name.
You didn't, because you used George L. on a picture of you in front of Caesar's Palace with your name above the marquee.
So how am I supposed to meet a girl that likes me for me, like the real me?
You don't. Look, George. This is how you solve your problem. You should date another celebrity because celebrities understand what you're going through because they're having the same exact problem that you're having.
Yeah, but which one? Let's see. Eva Longoria's engaged.
Yes.
Sofia Vergara, language issue.
She don't speak English.
Selma Hayek. Yeah. Jessica Alba's married. So that's it. That's my list.
God, I love Selma Hayek. But you know if you date a celebrity, she doesn't have to be Latina, George. You can think outside the box.
Not with my fan base.
You're a celebrity. When celebrities date other celebrities, the whole race thing disappears. It's like celebrities have their own race.
No, I just need to find a girl who's cute, smart, and doesn't know anything about me.
Well, good luck trying to find that in L.A. How about this? Let's scale back a little bit. And how about you just get a dog first? A rescue dog. A little puppy. Some unconditional love.
Dude, you know what? You are, like, the way you deliver jokes... You just do it so smooth. Whereas like other sitcoms, you can see the joke coming.
The setup.
You can see the setup. That's what I like. Is like there's a lot of moments. They really should put more moments of you and George.
But they're trying because
together
people really liked it. Like we would have the diner scenes and stuff. We would do a lot of eating and talking together. It's very Seinfeld and George.
Sure.
Right, sure. So, but that's what made that show so
and
great.
And it's authentic. It was really authentic because that was the one time where he and I both were not acting. We were just talking.
Right.
About shit that we normally would talk about
with
the camera.
I got a random question. This is something I always think about. Especially when you put comedians in a TV show.
Okay.
Comedians that write their own jokes for the show. I mean, for them, for their act, like for their stand-up. When you go into a show like that, very seldomly do the comedians actually write their jokes.
We did.
You did?
Yeah.
That's rare. Most of the time, there are writers there. Because
George would be like, let's pivot. Let's try this. And I'm like, okay, what if we try this right here? Like, because we just... It's his show.
Right.
And it's his voice. But at the same time, it's also my voice. And I compliment what he goes through.
Right.
Because either I'm going to be for it, or I'm going to be the voice of reason and say, okay, stop being an asshole, or stop, just don't do that.
Did he direct the show?
No.
So he had somebody?
Yeah. We had a guy named Troy Miller direct all 12 episodes.
And do you ever, like, say, yo, man, I really like take 5. Take that one, if you're going to take one. Or you just, like, let him. And then when you watch it, I mean, do you watch it? Or do you, like...
It takes a lot for me to watch
myself. Right.
That's how a lot of artists are.
Yeah. I'll watch it when we have the, like, we'll have viewing parties George will like gather everybody at his house to watch the show sometimes, and we'll live tweet because that is what the fuck television is now. Like you just can't. You just can't do your show and just let and it go be home. Done. No. Right. You have to go home, get in front of the TV, and tweet as if you didn't.
And what are you supposed to tweet? Like, that's crazy. What are you supposed to do? Like, hey, look how funny I was right there.
I'm sitting there like, oh man, watch George do this again.
Right.
And oh, this is dumb. And like,
I really had to pee during that scene, and I was holding it in.
I literally have to do shit like that. Literally want us to live tweet. We do live Facebook, you know, and we do live Periscope. Like, your job is not. It was a time where you could film something,
right,
and then you
put
done.
It on TV.
But they probably pay you extra for that.
No,
I wish. You know, the crazy thing is, like, I could see how it would work. Maybe before the week before, the day before. But to do it like while the show is live,
yeah. Don't you want people watching? Yeah, that's crazy.
But they're on the computer. That's the reason.
That's the thing, though. That was my whole thing when we first started doing it. Because I was on another sitcom called Enlisted for Fox. It was a military show. Mm. It was actually very funny, and the cast would get together and we would live tweet like every episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a lot. I'm like,
yeah.
How are people watching this show
if and paying attention to this
Twitter account? Like,
right,
it's counterproductive. You're not.
It's so counterproductive.
The viewer is not getting the full experience of either thing.
Because they're the shows that I like.
Yeah,
I'm not live tweeting this shit.
And you wouldn't sit there and be like, "Ooh, I wonder if the actor is live tweeting the show right now."
Yeah,
like,
I'm watching the show. I'm watching The Flash right now. Did you see The Flash running? I don't do it. I'm watching Westworld right
Why
now.
Why do they think that's important? I mean, that's kind of a weird.
That's what society is now. You have to multitask. Crazy. You have to do multiple things. Sidebar: one of my favorite soundtracks. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's great. Yeah. That's great.
Awesome.
I don't know if the Soggy Bottom Brothers are real.
Yeah.
But
they are real.
I love that soundtrack.
Mm.
Just throw that out there.
Oh, that's good. That's great.
That is fantastic.
That's another lost art, the soundtrack.
True.
Well, when I was growing up, I had so many soundtracks.
Bad, but see, this thing, movies are so bad now
that...
First of all, movies are bad, and there are not that many movies being made, and they put so much money into getting the movie made and into the theaters, they're like, fuck doing a soundtrack.
Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just let the movie do its thing. If it doesn't, then we don't want to have anything else to do with it. Because if a movie bombs, studios want to separate themselves from that project as quick as possible. Like, all right, that didn't happen.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes a soundtrack back in the 80s and 90s
would
do better than the movie.
Absolutely.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, or you know, there would be times where you'd have that, like, one artist would do the whole soundtrack. Like, I don't know, my kid was watching the goddamn Tarzan movie, and it's all Phil Collins. Yeah. Like, or then the...
Batman.
John Bon Jovi.
Prince did the first Batman.
Oh, soundtrack. God. I love that soundtrack. Yeah,
it's a great soundtrack.
It's a great soundtrack.
Yeah. So, and that like, I love that. Like that Batman movie, like that's my childhood.
That's a great movie.
And that soundtrack is so much of a part of it.
Yep.
Because that music was intertwined in the movie so well.
Yeah.
And like it all connects it for me.
But you have to
we don't have that anymore.
We don't have music like we used to.
Right. Well, that's true.
Art. I don't think it's just music. It's art.
Art across the board. Comedy stinks. Music stinks.
Movies are bad.
Movies
right now.
If it's not a superhero movie, it's shit.
It's not gonna make money.
There's no original idea.
Yeah.
They're remaking Jumanji. Why the fuck? Are you remaking Jumanji? Nobody's sitting at home like, yo.
Yeah.
You know what movie they need to make?
Yeah, you know what they didn't nail the first time? Jumanji. Yeah. Or
no one has said, let's make. No one's like, yo, let's remake Jumanji.
Right.
What about this? They're remaking movies that are already bitching. Like, why would you remake Point Break?
Right.
Do you really need to remake?
I watched
Total Recall. Why do you need to
remake
that?
I watched like
that?
20 minutes of that.
The first one.
Of that.
It's
that
terrible.
Damn remake. It
was Which one?
Terrible.
Total Recall or
no,
Point Break?
No, Point Break.
You know, I'll tell you one thing.
First of all, it had nothing to do. It was totally different. It was just a sports movie that said Point Break and they had the same names. I mean, it had nothing to do with it.
It was the X Games.
But I will say this about that movie. Some of the camera work was exceptional.
It was. It's called like, GoPro Drone.
Yeah. It was cool. It was cool to watch for 20 minutes, but you know, this.
But there was no story.
So why are you wasting my time with this?
It was porn. It was porn for action.
Totally. Yes. But there are lots of talented people writing probably. There are probably awesome original scripts.
Oh, there are
on a desk somewhere. But we need another Spider-Man reboot or whatever.
Yeah, you know? I know.
Yo,
this
they rebooted Spider-Man
like four
it's
times
the third
or something.
Time.
Yeah,
the third time. They rebooted.
Superman.
Yeah.
That's fourth time, I think.
Another Batman.
Batman.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many. I get mad when they reboot a movie. Like, yeah. They didn't need to remake Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right. Yeah.
You didn't have to.
Oh, you didn't. You don't need six Saws.
You don't.
I mean, I got it on the first one. You know what I mean?
I want to play a game.
Yes.
Yes. I don't want to play this game anymore.
Twice. I don't want to play it twice.
I'm good.
Just once. You got me once.
I don't want them to remake movies that I, like. You know what movie I watched the other day? I watched The Neverending Story.
Oh, my God.
That's a great
holy
movie.
Shit, a trail.
Yeah.
I watched
perfect,
the
from
movie
to
from
yeah.
beginning to end,
yeah.
and
I need to do that.
Man,
that's so
this
killer.
Movie. I'm going to tell you five movies I can watch from
yeah.
my childhood.
Oh, yeah, I like this. Let's
I can watch Neverending Story.
Yep.
Yep.
The Secret of
Nim. I was going to say that.
Secret of Nim, I've never seen that.
Oh, my God.
Are you fucking with me?
So
no.
good.
John Bluth used to work for Disney, and he separated himself and went and started his own company. And his first movie was this movie called The Secret of Nim,
yeah.
which was about these rats that got experimented on.
They were genetically engineered rats.
Yes.
It's animated.
It's so good.
And it's,
I gotta
it's
watch
that
it.
Old school animation. It just flows
it's
so nice.
Dark.
It's dark. Like,
dude,
I started to watch
that
it
on
my
Netflix right when
it's
I got
on
home.
Netflix. It's not on Netflix. You have to go out and buy this.
Okay.
Like, literally,
then fine, I'll buy it.
Buy
yeah.
it.
It's that good?
Dude.
It's so
okay.
good. And it's
right,
dark.
It's your top
and it's,
five.
Like, I started to watch it with my 3-year-old, and he started to get scared within like 2 minutes. I'm like,
yeah.
okay, I forgot that this is like, this is not a cartoon
everybody.
For kids.
No.
There's violence. There's darkness.
People getting killed.
You know, there's... But it's so intense and good,
yeah.
and just like there's nothing else like it. Like I'm getting chills thinking about it because I haven't
wow.
seen it. So well. Secret of Nim.
The Last Unicorn.
I don't know that one either.
You've never seen The Last Unicorn?
No,
I don't think I've seen that one.
You've never seen The Last Unicorn?
Last Unicorn.
It's in the same genre.
Okay.
Of The Secret of Nim. Now that is on Netflix.
Oh, I'll have to watch
you
that.
You can
one.
Watch that. That's good.
The Last Unicorn.
Yes.
How about Legend? Remember Legend
yeah.
with
Tom
Cruise?
Movie. Tim Curry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
Great movie.
The Great Muppet Caper.
Yes.
That's old
yes.
school. I
oh
love
my
that
God.
Movie.
I can
yes.
watch The Great Muppet
yes.
Caper.
I can watch any of the old Muppet
movies. Well,
Muppets Take Manhattan.
All
the first three.
Yeah. yeah.
The Muppet
right.
movie, Muppets Take Manhattan,
yeah.
and The Muppet Caper.
Muppet Caper
the,
yeah.
the Muppets in Space and all the
Treasure
Island.
Yeah, that's 90s Muppets.
Jim Henson wasn't involved.
Yes, yes,
right,
of course.
So,
The Dark Crystal.
The Dark Crystal.
Another one in that realm, that sort
that's,
of dark.
That was the first movie
realm,
I ever
yeah.
saw in a theater.
Yeah.
My favorite, I watch this movie every year for Christmas. Emmett Otter's
Jug Band Christmas. I watch
dude,
it
I
every
don't know
year.
That movie.
Are
watch,
you serious?
It's crazy.
All right, so this is it's a Jim Henson.
It's Jim Henson.
It's puppets. They're otters, and again, it's sad. It's such a sad,
it's dark movie.
It's dark and sad. But it's the music.
That's amazing.
The music is fantastic.
If you don't cry.
Oh my
at
God.
The end of the movie.
Yeah.
Because of the song, the
yeah.
mother.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
and
so
the son.
The story, right. I'm going to just give you a quick synopsis.
I'm getting so excited.
Right?
That
dude,
somebody else is in it.
It's a mother and a son
right.
who live together.
Yeah.
They're poor. The
right.
father died.
Yeah.
And he does odd jobs. The mm-hmm. mother washes clothes for people on the river or whatever. The town has rich people and
right.
snobby people.
Right.
Whatever.
Most people are poor, though.
Yeah.
Know, just trying to. Yeah.
So they're doing odd jobs. And the son is like, I got to get my mom something for
right.
Christmas. And the mom's like, I got to get the son something for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
They both can sing. The son is in a band. The mother is a solo artist. They both get into the
talent show.
The talent show.
Right.
And they both of them lose to like this corny ass
the
River Bottom
Nightmare
yeah.
Band.
The River Bottom Nightmare Band.
Yeah, so good. Actually, that song is pretty good.
It's a good. Not one song on this album is
seriously,
is
dude.
So fucking good, dude.
And
wow.
but it's sort of like it's also kind of like the Gift of the Magi, if you know that story. So
yeah.
I'm like ruining the whole movie.
So
there's like four
the
people
movie.
Listening to this that are super
this.
Excited.
Yo,
but anyway,
so
but
good.
He has his dad's tools. He needs to get money to get his mom something, so he sells the tools.
Wait, don't tell me the movie.
Okay, anyway, I won't tell you.
I'm gonna watch the movie.
But it's so touching.
Ain't no hole in the wash tub.
Ain't no hole in the wash tub.
That's all you need to know. That fucking movie. I do.
Is that better than Secret of Nim? Would you put that over Secret of Nim?
You can't do that. It's two different
things. Two different things.
One is animation, one is puppets.
Yeah.
And that is a Christmas. Like, that Christmas, is yeah, the yeah. Christmas movie.
It is.
I am going to.
Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. Do not forget it.
In the rankings of Christmas movies, is Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Then Scrooge.
Fucking.
Nah.
Emmett Otter's. Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then
yeah.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then
Christmas. The Rudolph. I like Rudolph. Rudolph
the puppet. What about Christmas Story?
That's oh, Christmas Story is good too. Yeah, number five. That's number five.
But that Emmett Otter.
Number one.
Is that you got one more movie left?
Oh shit.
Top
he said
five.
Dog Crystal, but I was like, eh.
Yeah, it was just in that same time period.
What movie can I watch? I'm like, I'm not changing the channel. Princess Bride.
Dude, I just bought that. You know what's crazy?
I've never seen that movie.
Dude, you know what's so funny?
I've never seen it.
Dude, that movie is unbelievable.
Am I? Yes.
I'm not American.
Oh my God, it's unbelievable. And you know what?
I don't like YouTube.
I bought it,
never
and my
Princess
girlfriend
Bride.
At the register is like, you just bought like a fairy tale movie? And the register girl was like, honey, you need to see this movie. It is, and I was like, I tell her how it is.
You've never seen
it? No, it would be on, and I would just be like, dude, not interested in it. I just so skip good. Over
I
it.
Watch it. I used to watch it for several reasons. One, because Andre the Giant was in it.
Right. Yes. Right.
Well, that made me, I was a wrestling fan. I was like, But
anybody want a peanut?
Yeah, dude. But when this guy says, this is inconceivable.
Right, I've heard that.
I do. Yeah. I don't know why, but that movie just moves me. And I'm a Disney fan. Like, I'm a huge Disney fan. Uh-huh. So, like, Mary Poppins.
Oh, yeah.
Like, top dollar.
Sure.
Fucking, what's a good Old Disney Yeller movie? If you don't cry Old Yeller, you're not.
Dude, I even like Lion King, man. That's like my favorite.
Old Yeller?
I've never seen that.
Dude,
I've been sheltered, man.
Actually, I haven't seen Old Yeller either. Dude, I just watched the Godfather trilogy like 6 months ago.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm going back because I was doing music my whole life. So it's like, I'm going back.
Old Yeller is E.T. before E.T. was E.T.
Really?
Interesting. Yes. When you have to shoot your own dog.
Don't give the away.
I knew you know that. Even I knew that.
I know. Oh, what are your five?
Jesus.
Jesus
movies?
One?
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. Jesus Christ Superstar is number one.
Wait. We got 30 seconds.
Okay.
You know what?
Oh, do we
you
only have 30 seconds?
Well, let's play a clip. Mirazio,
Mirazio, good, I'm off the hook.
We're
going to
play a clip.
Movies.
Okay, go play a clip.
So play the Vimeo clip.
The what? Vimeo one, right?
Yeah.
Hello?
This bitch about to go.
Hello.
We're gonna cut to another clip.
Yeah. I don't know. It was a very funny clip, but it was completely visual. I don't know why this is the clip. Maybe
you know what? That's the only one I didn't see. I was like,
that'll be good.
All right, we'll play the second.
This one's
one.
Like 5 minutes long.
It is.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was like a minute.
What are you looking for?
No, the first one, we watched that first one already.
Oh, well, let's talk to movies real quick.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, we'll right. Up. What are your five?
Oh, my top five favorite movies?
Yeah. Childhood. Let's do
right.
Childhood.
Right now. Oh, childhood movies. Okay.
Because all those are my childhood movies.
I'd say Goonies. That's
okay.
One
oh,
for
yeah.
me.
Okay, Goonies, oh, is, Goonies, Goonies yeah. is absolutely up there. Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, absolutely.
Yes. Back to the Future for me.
I mean, Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Empire Strikes. Yeah. I mean, if I only had to pick one of them, obviously Empire.
For me, Return of the Jedi. But okay.
Really?
Yeah, I love that one.
Who says that?
I like the first one and I like the third one.
Did you also think Godfather 3 was the best?
No. Okay, no, I thought Godfather 2 was the best.
If he said Godfather 3 was the best, I would
no.
<wrong.
laughs> No. But it wasn't as bad as everybody said, but it just shouldn't have been part of the trilogy.
Joey.
Yeah.
Zaza.
Get the hell out of here. The fact that he died the way his dad died. Oh,
yeah.
God. The creativity.
Childhood movies. I don't know. I got three.
I would say Shawshank Redemption.
But Shawshank Redemption would have been. I would have. Okay, if you said my favorite movies, Die Hard, Shawshank Redemption, like Boogie Nights or something like that.
No,
or,
I would say Sandlot. That's
Sandlot's fantastic.
And I would probably say Neverending Story.
Neverending Story would be. Movie. I mean, that's in the realm of movies that I could not turn off if it was on. Mm-hmm. What is another like? I'm trying to think of another
adventure
one I would watch when I was a kid. I don't know.
While you're thinking, Ronzi, what's next for you? Where can people find you?
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I don't do anything on there, but you're welcome to follow me on those websites.
Spell out your website so everybody knows.
MARONZIO Vance, V as in Victor, ANCE online, because somebody took Maranzio Vance and I guess they thought I was going to pay for that shit and be like, buy it back. Fuck out of here. Good luck using it. But
I know, I saw that you spelled that online. O-N-L-I-E.
I have to, because someone took it. So, but
you should try live tweeting your own comedy act. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Live tweeting my comedy act?
While you're doing it.
Oh, that'd be funny. Like, I'm on stage right now.
Yeah, I'm about to go on stage. Now I'm on stage.
It's a money idea. Money idea. Well, what's your fifth movie?
I don't.
You ever see Ice Pirates?
Yes, I did see Ice Pirates. I love that movie.
God, that's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
Where's your childhood?
It was in music.
We covered so many of them already. I can't think of another one that would be.
What was the movie? Kid? Baron. Buckaroo Banzai.
Buckaroo Banzai, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my God. That was so good. Kevin Smith was actually trying to make that into a TV show.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Huh.
Well, I don't think that's a good idea.
Dude, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show, man.
Did we do anything today?
Yeah.
Did we accomplish anything? Did we have some
clips, yeah.
I thought we were going to have to talk about the election this whole time, so I'm thrilled that we didn't.
I know, I'm tired of that. We did that last week.
Oh, did you?
I'm done.
Oh, okay.
I'm done with the election.
I thought this was the first show after the election.
No, it was, but we talked about it while it was happening.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
We're not going to do that now.
Good.
We're going to wrap it up. On behalf of the Sexy Vegan, Brian Patton.
Find me at thesexyvegan.com, my new mashed potato book, 99publishing.com.
I love it.
I know.
And Maranzio Vance online.
Can I get a recipe from you?
Absolutely.
I like them.
I got 18 recipes on my phone right now.
Cook. Right. Like a nice, something simple.
I'll hook you up. I got it.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys here next week. Oh. Yeah, next week. We're going to do it.